Now, you've all heard, undoubtedly, about the murder of Russia's perhaps greatest opponent, if you can call him such, and one who was very outspoken towards Mr. Putin. Now, even though, of course, Russia will never accept that and never agree to it, it appears rather clear that Mr. Putin was behind it, that he either ordered the murder or at least was indirectly involved through his Kremlin hangman. Now, in our update, which you have all received, update number 678, we are quoting quite a bit of articles pointing these things out. I don't want to take the time to quote them all and read them all to you, but I want to give you some highlights. And in addition to what we have in the update, some more developments as it took place today. We say in here, in one of the articles, that Ed Joyce, the Republican chairman of the U.S. House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Committee, said, "Lawlessness now pervades Putin's Russia. Regardless of who killed Boris Nemtsov, this shocking murder is the latest assault on those who dare to oppose the Putin regime," he said. Now, we need to understand that others have been murdered before, and the murders were never solved. For instance, Anna Politkovskaya, an investigative journalist and Putin critic, was shot dead outside her Moscow apartment in 2006. Paul Klebnikov, an investigative U.S. journalist, was shot dead in 2004. CNN added on February 27 that world chess champion Garry Kasparov pointed fingers at Putin. Now, you might remember Mr. Kasparov. He was the one who also several times played with Bobby Fischer. And so these were both chess champions. And he's most certainly not a dummy. He's most certainly not somebody who wouldn't know what he's talking about. He said that the Russian president is to blame, even if not directly involved. If Putin gave order to murder Boris Nemtsov is not the point. It is Putin's dictatorship, his 24/7 propaganda about enemies of the state. In Putin's atmosphere of hatred and violence, abroad and in Russia, bloodshed is the prerequisite to show loyalty that you are on the team. Now, this article by CNN goes on to say that critics of Putin have in the past suffered miserable circumstances and demises. Mikhail Gutorkovsky accused Putin of corruption and wound up spending 10 years in prison and labor camps. Russian spy Alexander Litvinenko accused state security services of organizing a coup to put Putin in power. He was poisoned by a lethal dose of radioactive polonium and died in London in 2006. No killer has been caught. Viktor Yushchenko, the former Ukrainian president, was poisoned, disfigured, nearly killed by a toxic dose of dioxin in 2004. Just hours before his death, Nemtsov told Echo Moscow Radio that Putin had pushed Russia into an economic crisis through his mad, aggressive, and deadly policy of war against Ukraine. Nemtsov had been working on a report that he said would prove that Russian soldiers were fighting alongside pro-Russian rebels in eastern Ukraine. Eastern Ukraine, of course, something which Putin has consistently lied about and denied. The Telegraph wrote on February 27 that the leading liberal politician who organized street demonstrations against the authorities was shot four times by unidentified attackers yards from the Kremlin walls. His uncovered body lay for about an hour at the spot where he was killed. Only 2 weeks ago, Mr. Nemtsov said he feared for his life and that President Putin might order his killing. The Guardian went on to say on February 27 that his murder took place in the heart of Moscow, within torching distance of the Kremlin. It is an area infested with police, who typically break up opposition manifestations within seconds. And yet, Nemtsov's killer was seemingly able to escape. In the end, Nemtsov fell victim to old-fashioned mafia methods. Now, a very strong article was published by Deutsche Welle. I want to say something about Germany, because Deutsche Welle is a German news agency. Germany is following, in far too many cases, the left liberal media, which unfortunately is very sympathetic to Putin. I will have to talk about this in a moment. And so here comes an article by Deutsche Welle, very strongly worded, very accurately portraying what is really happening in Russia. It says it was also interesting to observe how the Kremlin and Russia's state-controlled media began churning out the usual disinformation in an attempt to obscure the facts. It says the media was reporting, or the media reporting highlighted the skill with which the Kremlin manipulates the media and in turn the Russian people. The Russian media pointed the finger of blame at those who oppose Putin, the Americans, the Ukrainians, the Islamists, and any other group seen as a threat to Russia's national security. In reporting on the possibility of an Islamist background to the attack, the Russian media seized the opportunity to emphasize that Nemtsov was Jewish. Given the widespread anti-Semitism in Russia, the effect of such information in relation to the murder was evident. To wipe out any sympathy for the 55-year-old victim, who in addition was in the company of his Ukrainian girlfriend. The extensive reporting by the Russian media was not aimed at finding truth, but rather obfuscation. The responsibility of the Russian government, which has for years used the media to slander its opponents, was not a topic up for discussion, nor was a question of why, right at the time of the murder, all these surveillance cameras around the Kremlin were either switched off, broken, or being repaired. With all the talk in the media concerning Nemtsov's murder, the truth is being drowned out. Boris Nemtsov himself would hardly have been surprised. Now, these are quotes from our current update. Now, today, two quote-unquote potential, those who perpetrators, let's say, I couldn't think of the word, were arrested. And the Kremlin announced that they had arrested two suspects. Now, they are from Chechnya, and so the idea is immediately portrayed that they are those people belonging to the opposition to Russia. Now, nobody really believes that these were the ones. The Associated Press wrote today that suspicion in the opposition is high that the killing was ordered by the Kremlin in retaliation for Nemtsov's adamant criticism of President Vladimir Putin. Many believe that Nemtsov's death in a tightly secured area near the Kremlin would not have been possible without official involvement. The paper Bild Online reported today that Boris Nemtsov stated in an interview in March 2012 that Putin would be behind any killings of any opposition leaders, stating that Putin admitted to him that that was his plan. He said that if a high-ranking KGB man says something like this, and if one was in the KGB, then he is always in the KGB, then this means that he was planning such murders. Bild also stated that world-renowned Russian violinist Gidron Kremer said that the death of an opposition leader is never accidental or a provocation. It was also emphasized that leads to the Kremlin are not even considered in the quote-unquote investigation. Experts doubt that an independent investigation is even possible under the influence of the Kremlin. Bild concluded that Nemtsov's murder would not be the first murder of Kremlin opponents, which will not be solved. Now, in addition, 81% of Germans, according to the local, don't trust Russia, don't trust anything Russia is doing or saying, most certainly not Putin, which stands in high opposition to the official line of the German government, Angela Merkel and company, who try so desperately to work out some deals with Russia, as the Americans right now are trying to work out a deal with Iran. And all of that is, of course, totally destined to failure. I found an article this morning, an interview, with Yuri Felshinsky. Now, Yuri Felshinsky is one of the great opponents to Putin, but he lives in Boston. And its site, a left liberal magazine, interviewed him. And of course, they, being run by the former Chancellor Helmut Schmidt, who is a good friend of former Chancellor Schröder, who is a good friend of Putin, they are not going to say an awful lot against Putin, but at least they published that interview, which I felt was extremely important and extremely telling. He was asked, this Mr. Felchinsky, and I'll tell you in a moment who he is, whether he would want to go back to Russia at this point. He said, if I were to do that, it would be murder, it would be suicide. Because he was the one, together with another journalist, Alexander Litvinenko, who wrote in 2001 about Putin's massacre of the Chechens. Now, at the time, that was publicized. You don't hear too much about this anymore. You hear about Chechenian rebels and Chechenian terrorists, but if you go back in time and see what happened in 2001, how, I mean, literally, Putin massacred those people, you can perhaps see the connection. Now, interestingly enough, Litvinenko, the other co-author, was later poisoned. And again, no murderer was found. Now, he said he has no doubt, Mr. Felchinsky, that Putin was the one who murdered the opponent, Mr. Nemtsov. He said that there's no way that he could have been killed in front of the Kremlin if the Kremlin wasn't involved. He said no murderer would have killed him right there. They would have killed him someplace else. He said Russia is a police state. He said the truth will never come out, or if it does come out, it will take a long time. He said, you know, when Joseph Stalin murdered Leo Trotsky in 1940, it took about 50 years for the truth to come out. He compared, and if you wonder where I'm going, just bear with me a little bit, he compared Putin with Hitler. He said the parallels are striking. For instance, as Hitler spoke about German soil and German world and German this and that, here is Putin speaking about Russian earth, Russian genes, Russian world. He said that the media is totally controlled by him and his Kremlin people, as of course the media in Germany was completely controlled by Hitler. He said that as Hitler was trying to invade several countries, that's exactly what Putin is trying to do. The interesting thing is, Hitler was elected through a democratic election in Germany, as Putin was elected through democratic elections in Russia. But once they were in charge, they built a dictatorship, both in Germany as well as in Russia. He said that Hitler, when he occupied Poland, didn't think that the Allies, the French and the British, would declare war, because he had occupied Czechoslovakia, he had occupied the Sudetenland, and nobody did anything about it. In the same way, Putin is confident that the EU won't do anything, the Americans won't do anything. He annexed Crimea, nothing happened. He is going to continue annexing the entirety of Ukraine, and nothing is going to happen. He feels that if Putin would think something would happen, he wouldn't do this. But he is totally confident that Putin will continue to invade other countries, including the Ukraine, the entirety of the Ukraine, and that nothing will happen to stop him. So the question was asked, doesn't this mean that World War III will begin soon? And he said, well, not in a year or so, because the conflict with Ukraine won't be over within a year. It will take a little bit more time. Putin is patient. Russia is patient. Their goal is to totally occupy Ukraine, and they will do so. Now, these are the facts I wanted to give you as they have been presented. Some of this, what I told you right now, will be in the next update. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it is totally, 100% in line with biblical prophecy. If Putin would be a German leader, I would say he is a beast. Now, we know he is not the beast because he is not a German. But something, someone like Putin will arise in Germany. Germans are fed up at this point with the policy of appeasement by Merkel and company, especially regarding Putin. Somebody is going to rise. Somebody is going to say, enough is enough. We have to do something about this guy, about Russia, whom you can't trust. Now, what does the Bible tell you? The Bible tells you that a time will come when the beast is in charge. when rumors from the east and the north will reach him. Daniel tells you that. And then he will go out with great fury when those rumors from Russia, from China, from Ukraine will reach Europe. And then the war, which had already begun when Europe has attacked the United States of America, when Europe has attacked Great Britain, will continue. And of course, we read in the book of Revelation that when then Europe will start that war, in a sense preempt an attack from Russia and China, then Russia and China will retaliate and destroy much of Europe. And the Bible also makes it very clear the ones who are going to retaliate include Ukrainians, include the Medes, which means that Russia and Ukraine will ultimately work together hand in hand, being enemies of Europe. Now, I'm bringing this up because when Hitler was elected, as this article I quoted to you was pointing out, he was elected because the Germans were looking for something. They were really upset, and to an extent rightly so, about the great apparition payments they had to pay and couldn't pay, and their economy was in shambles. The whole entire political scene in Germany was in shambles. Nothing was being done. And so here came somebody who appeared to give solutions, you know, as somebody in Russia appeared to give solutions, and that's why Putin came to power. That's how the next German leader will come to power. And then you have the confrontation like you had between Hitler and Stalin. So history is going to repeat itself. But now what about Iran? Now, I pointed out in the Standing Watch program on Mr. Netanyahu that Iran can't be trusted either. I mean, they lie as much as Russia is lying. And interestingly enough, in some of the articles I didn't read to you, the Russian people are being lied to. And one of the opponents says the Russian people know that Putin ordered that murder, but they are afraid to speak out because they are afraid for their lives. We've got to understand what a situation is being developing, has been made in Russia. We should not believe one minute that that is any way near to a democracy, far be it from it. Now, Iran is trying to buy time through these negotiations, quote-unquote, as Putin was buying time with these negotiations leading to a ceasefire between the Ukrainians and the Russians, which never will end up to be a ceasefire. Everybody knows that's totally going to fail. But the Bible has a lot to say about Iran. Iran is already Russia's proxy, as we all should know, in the Middle East. But, you know, sometimes we see maybe many trees, and we might not see the forest. And so I want to briefly summarize what the Bible says about Iran, about Europe, and about the relationship when it comes to Russia. Now, we have this all set forth in our Middle Eastern and African nations in Bible prophecy. So if you haven't read that for a while, there's one chapter there on Iran. To briefly summarize, first, we read, according to the Bible, that some Iranians, I'm not talking about the entire country necessarily, some Iranians will be with Europe fighting Israel. Step number one. Okay. Now, that the Iranians are definitely willing to have Israel destroyed is, you know, a fact. Europe, we know, will turn against Israel too, the state of Israel. And so there seems to be some kind of a collaboration which is going to develop between the Europeans and the Iranians against the state of Israel. Perhaps even the United States of America. They're also part of Israel, as we know, the House of Israel. The next step is what I alluded to before. A war will break out between Europe and Russia. At the same time, perhaps, or around this time, you will also find that Europe will turn against Iran. Now, maybe because Russia and Iran are together. So they will turn against Iran, and we find that Iranians will be in slavery, in captivity. Next step, Russia will retaliate. When I say Russia, I include China with that, and the collaboration between Russia and China right now is quite interesting to see. So they will retaliate, and they will not only march into the Middle East, they will also march against Europe and begin to destroy Europe. And at that time, the Medes, the modern Medes, Ukrainians, and Russia will work together against Europe. That is how what's clearly prophesied, all ending up in the return of Jesus Christ, all ending up in Armageddon, where people are gathering together, the armies are gathering together, perhaps for the purpose of fighting the decisive last battle, and then a different enemy is being seen, Jesus Christ, and they all march towards Jerusalem to fight him there. But that's not the end of the story, because, you know, when I said Russia will free Iran, and then they will, with combined forces, including with the Ukrainians, fight against Europe, that is before Christ returns. But then we have the situation after Christ has returned and Israel is brought out of slavery, because they have been enslaved by Europeans too, and they are going to be in the Promised Land. Then again, another attack is going to start. And Ezekiel 38 is talking about that. And that attack again is being launched by who? Russia, China, and Iran is part of it as well. So you see, biblical prophecy makes very clear what's happening. We don't expect that anything will change positively in Russia. We don't expect that anything will change positively in Iran. I think that has already been established now. What we are waiting for is a beast power arising in Germany. And frankly, the way America is going downhill in just about every political decision which is being made, that's all which we need right now. That a beast personage is arising in Germany. And when that happens, we know that all of this nonsense will end in no time.